weekdays from 4.
105 Drive with Julian Clover.
Seeing you home.
Wine Review with Nigel Beaumont.
See, second outing for the jingle. Hello, Nigel.
Hello, Julian.
Thanks for coming in. And we're talking about wines from South Australia.
Yes, that's right. I wanted to talk about Australia, but it's a big subject, so I thought I'd divide it. And Southwest Australia, in actual fact, which is Margaret River, is quite an important region for premium wines. And they're quite difficult to get in the UK, apart from some of the Margaret River production, which is quite costly. But I thought I'd do that. So I'll talk about just the southwest, which is principally Margaret River, which is about two and a half hours from Perth, south of Perth. So that places it on the map. It's got quite a unique position, actually, geographically, because it enjoys a maritime climate, which means that it is surrounded by three sides on the ocean. It gets fairly good rainfall throughout the year and an even warmth throughout the year. So it makes it a climate very similar to a relatively dry Bordeaux here. So you can see that you're getting the Cabernets and so on in similar conditions. So it's quite interesting. It's a very young region. It was only principally planted about 50 years ago. And it was scientifically determined by a chap called Dr. John Gladstone as having suitable conditions for the growth of grapes.
Well, when did the Australians get into wine initially? Was it something which followed the settlers, or did it wait a while?
No, I think it did, actually. And there's one of the other smaller areas in this section of South Australia, which was planted just after the First World War. So I think, actually, historically, they've had wine production for a long time there. But in terms of this actual geographic area, they consider it to be special because it's been determined scientifically as well as through custom and practice to actually produce some good quality wines. So it's developed a strong international reputation, particularly for Chardonnays and Cabernet Sauvignon grapes. And the producers also have their own unique blends, one of which is Semillon and Sauvignon Blanc, which is a very pleasant, easy-drinking white. Over 200 producers in the area gives a great variety of wines, 5,000 hectares under vine. The region is the source of only 3% of Australian grape production, but remarkably, it produces over 20% of Australia's premium wines.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, I dare say the combination of the two kind of pushes the prices up to make them even more premium.
That's right. If you're looking in the UK, and I'll give some examples at the end as to some of the bottles you can buy, but they tend to be around the £15-20 mark. So it's very out of sync with the typical New World wines, which might well be under £10 sort of thing. So the principal grape varieties you're going to find in this area are Chardonnay, Sauvignon Blanc, Semillon, Shiraz, Merlot, and Chenin Blanc. So all of the characteristic wine varieties, grape varieties, I should say, from the southern France. So in addition to that, there are a couple of other names you might pick up, although, as I say, fairly rarely will you actually be able to buy the wines here. You can on the internet, though. There's Blackwood Valley Wine Region, which is slightly further east than Margaret River, producing Chardonnay and Cabernet and also some Shiraz. There's a region called the Geograph Wine Region, and it's named after the explorer's ship, which was called Geograph. So the guy that actually discovered the area, his ship's name has been coined for the region's name. And it's characterized by very mountainous terrain, lots of river valleys. And so, interestingly, apart from the Chardonnay and Sauvignon Blanc, which we spoke about, they're also starting to plant and produce some very credible Tempranillos and Nebbiolos, which you might find in Spain, for example, in the Riojas. And the third wine region there is the Pemberton wine region. Now, you can pick up some bottles of produced in the Pemberton wine region. It's southeast of Margaret River, characterized by high altitude and cool climate, and very suited to Pinot Noir and Chardonnay grapes. It has become recognised as one of the few regions in Australia to be suited to growing Merlot, Merlot being an extremely popular grape varietal, and therefore will grow in importance for that particular area. So as I was saying, in terms of actually buying the produce of Margaret River, you'll find a few wine retailers will be selling it, but it'll be at premium prices. And I've just picked up a couple of interesting ones. I'll put them through Julian on the website.
Okay, that'd be useful. I'll add that to the podcast when we put that together.
And there's one called Snake and Herring Calypso.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, it sounds good.
That's worth having for the name.
It's a Cab Sav and Merlot blend. It's full-bodied and intense red fruit flavour, so sounds very special. It's about £20 a bottle, though. You get Ringbolt, which is from Margaret River, Cabernet Sauvignon. That's a lot more reasonable. It's about £10 from Tesco. And then Vas Felix Filius, which is a Chardonnay, which is in Majestic. It's £16 and it also comes from Tesco. Other names to look out for: Hayden Estate and Bellarmine. Both are in the Pemberton region, and if you can find them, some good quality wines come out of them. So, Julian, that's sort of a summary of what we get out of the southwest.
You'll probably tell me that this is the other quadrant, other half of Australian wines. But the commercial ones we often hear about, Wolf Blass and Hardy's, that sort of one, is that presumably obviously non-premium? Are they fall over the other side, as it were?
Yes, yeah, they might be. They'd be called South Australia actually, but they come from Victoria generally, and the mountains around Sydney as well.
Okay,
which I will cover in another program, but that's where the big wine producers are, the volume wine producers.
Okay, thank you, Nigel. Thanks very much. We'll see you again next month. As mentioned, we'll do a podcast on that. If you missed any of it, it'll be available over the weekend on Cambridge 105.fm. We'll take some music, and when we come back, we'll bring you up to date on the travel.